Can you believe it's September? Wow. Here we are, huh? Christmas is upon us. It's practically here. I want you to imagine for just a moment, cooler weather. How about a little bit of fall? A little bit of fall? Could you do with some fall this morning? I'll put the image before you here. Get the prize out there ahead of you so you can think along that line. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. We'll get right into the scriptures today. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us. We thank you for the anointing moving in, rolling like mighty waters here in this place today. Lord, speak to us in these next few moments. Lift us to the place in heaven that you have for us, Lord, the place of standing in Christ, the place of reigning in him. Reveal to our hearts, Holy Spirit, unveil your truth to us in the Word of God today, we ask in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Well, we've hammered this point in lately, and I want to reiterate it. You're blessed. You're not cursed. And many times the enemy will actually orchestrate, say orchestrate. He will orchestrate circumstances around you to create a feeling. Can you say feeling? Yeah, why? Why is that important? Because he knows that so many humans operate off feelings. Feelings alone. But not believers, right? That's why we put the name on the sign. Believers Fellowship. This is a different kind of house. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith. But Satan will orchestrate feelings and he will orchestrate circumstances around you to create an image, just like I've created an image of cooler fall weather here on the screen behind me to kind of help encourage you through all this heat. He will try to orchestrate things around you to create an idea so that you agree to it. Sometimes in your life, money starts to feel tight, and the enemy will come in and echo that feeling strongly to convince you that money is tight. So that at some point you will not just feel it, but it'll come out of your mouth. Yeah, my money's kind of tight right now. What have you done? You've just agreed with the smoke and mirrors around you. Are you with me? Well, I'm here to declare today, you're blessed. You're not cursed. Amen? You're not to be pitied. You're to be envied. You're not a victim. You're a victor. Romans 8:37 affirms that. If you'll put that up, please, Alan. At Romans 8:37. Let's read it out loud. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? No matter what comes against you, no matter what is facing you, the truth of the word is greater than what you're feeling in that moment. In all these things, the scripture says. And he precedes it with the nay, right? Puts that nay in there. Just to remind you to pull the stirrups. Hold up. Hold. It's like saying, ho, horse. Ho, hold up. You're starting to get anxious, starting to get worried, starting to fear. Fear is starting to eat at the back of your mind. And he says, nay, in all these things, you're more than a conqueror. We haven't grasped that fully, but we're grasping it. Amen? Turn to Revelation chapter 1 in your Bibles, please. Revelation 1. I want to encourage you to get a Bible. A paper Bible. Hear this sound? That's a wonderful sound. The sound of Bible pages being turned. I know most people nowadays also use electronic, and I do too when I'm studying. But in your personal time, I want to encourage you to get a paper, real Bible and develop a deep love walk with this book. I mean, be highly affectioned toward it. In my daily prayers to the Lord, one of the things I pray daily, it's not really a prayer request, it's a thanksgiving. Thank you for your holy Bible, living water, my revival. That's what this is. It's like a man walking through a desert, hydrated, about to fall over, fainting from heat, and he comes upon an Ozarka water cooler, and it's plugged in, and it's cold. That's living water, amen? It saves him just in the nick of time. This book, if you open it at the right moments, when you're fainting, when you are about to fall over spiritually, if you'll open the book, what if your phone's out of juice? Well, that's why I say get a real Bible. Don't be dependent on the electronic only. Get you a real Bible. Praise the Lord. Where are we? Revelation 1. Verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him who which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, that's talking about Jesus, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That happened to some of you this morning. You just got born again. You're new believers. That's what this verse is telling you. He has washed you from your sins with his own blood. He has made us, look at verse 6, kings and priests. Say it out loud with me. Kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Ooh, that's a powerful verse. You could live off that in a desert island, couldn't you? Just telling you what all Jesus has done. He's forgiven you of your sins, made you a king and a priest unto God. Hallelujah. Now look at Revelation 5, 10, 9 and 10. 5, 9 and 10. Just flip over a few chapters. Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10. It's a good sound. I hear all that paper. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. There's that idea again, kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Wow. That sounds like royalty to me. We shall reign on the earth. Kings and priests. All right? That's not talking about world leaders. That's talking about believers. You're a king and a priest unto God. In God's eyes, you are a king and you are a priest. And what do kings do? They rule, they reign. And we're going to reign forever. Amen? How many of you know that doesn't just begin when you die? That has begun. If you didn't get the memo, I'm here to remind you this morning. That has begun. In Jesus, you are reigning as a king, Tony. Now, you have a dominion. You have a sphere of influence God has given you in which to reign. Starts within your home. Right? With your kids, your wife. It's a reign of love. It's a kingdom of love. It starts there. It's not about bossing people around and giving orders. No, it's a kingdom of love. The atmosphere of that kingdom. You know, when you hear people talk about they've been to heaven and come back, and what is it they describe that's just so amazing, that's so, you know, otherworldly? It's the love they feel, right? In the atmosphere, the love of God, the love of friends and relatives that have gone on before them, and they come around them and embrace them there in that environment. It's the love. And we're called to reign in that love. Turn back to Titus chapter 3. Titus. It's in the T's. Thessalonians, Timothy's, Titus. You'll find it in the T's. Before Hebrews. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3 verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. Say abundantly. In case you didn't know it, when you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost shed on you abundantly. Isn't it great? I'll tell you, it takes a good shedding for humanity to be saved, doesn't it? It's not an easy thing. Humans are devilish. That was kind of a joke. I mean, you could laugh at that. Humans, in their worst case, are devilish. And it took an outpouring, a gushing of the Holy Ghost, amen, to sanctify us, to save us. He poured it out abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. Say heirs. Heirs. That's the title of my message today. It's just one word, heirs. Not hairs. You don't want to find those in your meal in a restaurant, I tell you. Yikes. But heirs. The H is silent. Heirs. We have been made heirs. Circle that word made if you're taking notes in your Bible. Underline made. That's important. Because when you got born again, you got made. Amen? You became something. And you became, the Bible says, an heir. An heir. According to the hope of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Romans 8, turn back to Romans, Romans 8, Romans 8, Romans 8. We're reading some scripture today. Is that okay in church? I thought that's fitting. Romans 8, 16. It says, the Spirit itself, or himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. I heard someone say one time, if the devil's messing with your head, if he's trying to create doubt about that, just start speaking in tongues. Amen. Just pray out in tongues. And that'll drive that doubt away. It will. It'll remind you, you're a child of God. You can't do that humanly. It's humanly impossible to pronounce those syllables in rapid succession like we do. It's not gibberish. It's humanly impossible because you're speaking from your spirit. You can't produce that from the brain. It comes from out of the spirit. So the devil challenges you as to whether you're still a child of God or not. Just start speaking in tongues. Drive him away. Amen? Amen. We are the children of God. Verse 17. And if children, then what? Heirs. We're made heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. Well, there's that part we're not supposed to read in church. That we may also be glorified together. Now, there's going to be some suffering involved to step into your heirship, if I may. What does that mean? It means you're going to have to fight against the flesh, your own flesh, your body, your mind is not going to like it. You're going to have a little bit of a battle, combat. But even beyond that, it's this world. This world's full of doubt. This world would like to keep you like a bucket of crabs, just, you know, crabs when they're in a bucket together. I've never tried this, but I hear it, and I hear the story, and I can imagine it's true. When one crab starts to crawl out of the bucket, another crab will reach up and grab him with his claw and just pull him right down in that bucket, right? Crabs can't get out of the bucket when there's other crabs around. And the world would like to try to keep you down. This is why you should limit the amount of news you intake. Because if you're not careful, that news feed will just have you in a downward spiral constantly. And I'm telling you, we reign above. We are above this world, saints. We are above it. Amen. We're heirs. We're heirs. And what does it say back in verse 17? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Say that with me. I'm a joint heir. I'm a joint heir with Christ. That's some high talk, isn't it? When I was a teenager, I didn't like it when they sang songs about or talked about being joint heirs. My little teenage mind could not conceive of, you know, the idea of embracing a divine royalty, a place of divine authority with Jesus, being a joint heir with him. I was battling terrible self-esteem, raging hormones like every other teenager, and I got annoyed when I'd hear that phrase in church. I was like, don't talk to me about royalty. I got my own problems. But I want to tell you, this royalty, this reigning as an heir will lift you above every problem. So that's why the devil wants to keep you out of church. Because you're back home trying to fight the financial thing, you know, trying to overcome the financial system of this world, get your bills paid, try to get ahead, da-da-da. And you're trying to do it in your own strength. And God says, just come under my canopy, under my arms of love. Jesus said it this way, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How many times I wanted to take you under my wings as a mother hen, right? Well, let's don't be like Jerusalem. Let's don't be like the Jews of his day and reject our Messiah. Jesus wants to help us, amen? He wants to help you through those situations you're wrestling with. But it comes by first understanding who he's made you to be. And then beginning by faith to take up that position of heirship. Not an heirship like a blimp, but you know what I'm saying. Heirship. Heirhood. Hallelujah. God has made a way out for us. Hebrews refers to it as such a great salvation. But I'm telling you, saints, it's upon us to draw the benefits of this salvation. It's not just going to fall on you. You're going to have to draw on it by faith. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. While you're turning there, let me remind you of the Cinderella story, right? When you were all kids, everybody saw Cinderella. I think, well, everybody in my generation watched, because whatever Disney movie came out week after week, that's what we saw on Sunday nights on the wide world of Disney. And one Sunday night, I'm sure, in that sequence, Cinderella was just part of it. You just watched it. It's, you know, all of Mickey Mouse, Dumbo, all of the different stories. They just kind of had it all laid out for you like a menu. We all saw Cinderella as kids. What's the Cinderella story all about? About someone trying to keep someone else from finding their true identity. Right? Cinderella.
really, Cinder, really.
Right? No, don't want her to discover she's really a princess. I want to keep her pushed down. And that's what the devil does to us. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, Paul says, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this... Notice that phrase, in whom. The King James gets that really right. In whom. There's a darkness that's at work in unbelievers. Amen? It's in them. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ... I'm telling you, saints, this is a glorious gospel. Amen? Sometimes I just shudder. I just think, Lord, I don't feel able. I don't feel capable to properly vocalize the depths of this salvation. But this is a glorious gospel. Amen? It's a glorious gospel that we bring to people. And it will change lives. It says here, he's blinded the minds of, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the image of God, should shine unto them. If Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers, how much more believers? Amen? How many Christians do you know have no clue about their air hood? No clue about the place of reigning that God has brought them to in Christ. They're still learning, or they've either been taught wrong or haven't been taught at all. But it's a different story here at Believers Fellowship. Amen? We're going to get you there. We're going to proclaim who you are in Christ and get you there, because we're all called to reign in life. Paul was talking to the Ephesian church, and in chapter 4, around verse 17, he started describing what life was like B.C., before Christ. And he said, this is the way you used to live, in darkness, in ignorance, in the lust of the flesh. And he said, but you have not so learned Christ. So learned Christ. This is what we're doing today. You're learning Christ. That's why you come to church, to learn Christ. Who you are in Christ. Who is Christ? And who are you in him? And again, that's why the enemy on Saturday night will do his best to make all hell break loose in your life. So that you got a really, really good excuse for all the deacons and the pastor that ask you on Monday why you weren't at church. Well, the water heater gave out. The cat got sick. The devil wants to keep you out of church. Like Cinderella's stepsisters and cruel stepmother. Because the Sunday that the world is breaking apart around you, that's the Sunday your biggest breakthrough is right here in the house. And you ought to pause, stop, drop, and roll, and realize, oh, I see now. This is how it is. Let me get my Sunday best on. I'll be down there as quick as possible. Amen? Are you with me? You can say, oh, me, or oh, my, or amen, either one. It's true. The services that I have had the biggest spiritual conflict getting to have been my greatest breakthroughs, have been the word I needed to hear the most, the anointing I needed the most to break me out of my hold. And I'm telling you, the devil will fight you just like he fights me to keep you out of church. But we're here. Praise the Lord. You're here. But you know, historically, the devil has fought the body of Christ. About the time, again, that image of the crab starting to crawl out of the bucket. About the time people start to understand, Jane, who they are in Christ. And I don't have to drive a clunker car. I can actually drive something that's decent. Gets me from point A to point Z without my faith having to be on a miracle, right? I drove one of those one time. I know all about it. Had to lay hands on that engine from time to time and believe for a miracle. Oh, we saw miracles. My little four-cylinder. Oh, a Ford Fiesta. Woo! But God wants to do more for you than that. But about the time a believer starts to get ahead and realize, oh, I'm called to reign in Christ. I can do better than this by faith. And they start to get a hold of something. And then their relatives comes along and says, oh, I see you got a new car. Trying to keep up with the Joneses, are you? You know, they throw out some snide remark to try to push you back down, pull you back down inside that bucket, right? And make you feel less than yourself for having getting a hold of a truth that lifts you out of the pit of life. This is what's happened. He's attacked us. He's attacked the messengers. Anything he can do to disparage the message that will lift you up to your place of reigning with Christ, where you sit in heavenly places with him as an heir, a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. Above life. Say, I'm above life. Yeah, in Christ, we're above life. And we've learned for many years ideas like this: I've been made the righteousness of God. I've been made rich in Christ. I've been made to reign in Christ. And God's looking for a generation who will go full bore with this truth. I believe that's why Jesus hasn't come back yet, honestly. We've seen spots of it here and there. A famous preacher or a church in some town, you know, really gets a hold of Jesus in a big kind of way. And we go, ooh, hurrah, hurrah. We'll go to their convention and we'll go out of town and go visit that place because, boy, they're really turned on for Jesus. God wants every believer turned on for Jesus. He wants every one of us reigning in Him at the fullest level to take the truth of who He's made us and to run with it full strength, no chaser, and reign with Him as heirs. See, He can't do it without us. He set it up that way, Logan, intentionally. He wants to work with us. Now, God will accomplish His will one way or the other, but He wants to work through you if you'll yield to it as an heir. And it's actually dishonoring to the gift and to the giver when we don't reign in Christ. Amen? He has spread out the table, the feast for us. And when we don't take hold of it, we're actually dishonoring both the sacrifice, the horrendous price that Jesus paid. It was horrific. We can't truly depict it. That's why the world went black for 3 hours. The world went dark. Even God didn't want to look at it. But it was paid so that we could have life. Amen? I want to take hold of all of that. How about you? All of it. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans, a couple books to the left. Romans 5. I said 4, I meant 5. Romans 5. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, who is that? That was Adam. Adam, by Adam's offense, death reigned. Much more, say much more. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. There's a couple words in there you should underline, a couple phrases, highlight, circle, put a red arrow toward. First of all, much more. Amen? This salvation is much more. The salvation we bring to the world is much more. It lifts people out of darkness. It breaks off poverty off their life. It brings healing to their bodies, divine healing. Gives them a second chance at living. Amen? It's a much more gospel. Much more. What Jesus brought was greater than Adam's fall. It was much more. But the only way that people get a hold of it is this word that starts with the letter R. How do they get a hold of it? They receive it. They receive it. And they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness do what? They reign. They reign. The key to reigning is receiving. Amen? What I'm preaching to you this morning can't be, you can't put your hands on it tangibly. You have to receive it in your heart, and then it begins to tangibilize, if I could use that word. It begins to make itself real in your life. Amen? You say, Pastor, tell me how do I get ahead financially? I'm telling you right now. Begin to reign in Christ by faith. Take up this idea that you are an heir with God and an heir with Jesus, and believe it in your heart, and then begin to speak it. I'm an heir. I'm a joint heir with Christ. And you begin to take it by faith. You take it in your heart first, and then you'll see it outwardly. Look over at Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, verse 15. While you're turning there, we can take a quick vote in the room. Should we pronounce the city of humble or humble? No, I'm kidding. I know it's called humble, but it's kind of a play on words. Humble, humble. Mark 10, 15. Mark 10, 15. Verily I say unto you, that means I'm telling the truth right now, whosoever shall not receive, there's that word, it starts with R again. Tie that to Romans 5, 17. Whosoever shall not receive, say receive, receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Saints, it's not hard. But it does require something of us, and that is to be childlike. And what is a child like? They're humble, or humble, whichever way you want to pronounce it. They're humble, aren't they? A child is just humble. They don't know pride until they've been around this world long enough to figure out, you know, oh, I should be arrogant about this or snooty about that. They have to learn arrogance. A child is naturally humble. That's why Jesus used the illustration. You must receive the kingdom like a child. A child can receive. When Caleb comes to our house, he sees Amazon packages lying around. He automatically assumes they're a gift for him. He's ready to receive. No problem. Must be a toy in there for me. Kids know how to receive. Do you know how to receive? You know, I've had to retrain myself in recent years. I've caught myself sometimes when people want to offer a small act of kindness to me, and it's easy to reject it, turn it away. Because we want to, as adults, we want to come across as self-sufficient. No, I don't need, I'm okay. So you're in the store and they say, would you like a bag with that? And your immediate reaction is, well, no, I'm okay. I've learned to say, sure, give me a bag. I'm learning to receive. Right? Because it's pride that would keep us from taking in the good things that God wants us to have in our life. I know that sounds but it's true. It's true. I came across a man at a gas station one time. I could see from the hearing aids. He was a young man. And I could see from the hearing aids that were in his ears that there was obviously a hearing issue. And it wasn't befitting a person his age. So I made the offer. I said, hey, I believe God does miracles today. Can I pray for you for your ears to be healed? He said, no, that's okay. I about fell over with shock, right? Who would want to keep deafness? Who would want to keep blindness? Who would want to keep poverty? Any suffering? And yet you'd be amazed sometimes when you offer the gospel to people. You offer the answer that will pull them out of that pit, and they reject it. It's pride. It's pride. It's an inability to receive like a child. But the key to reigning as an heir in Christ is to receive. Let me read just the natural definition of heir to you real quick. If you're taking notes, you can write some of these thoughts down. An heir is one to whom an inheritance is given, with the emphasis on that word, given. What does it mean to be an heir? Well, somebody has to give you something, right? Goods or lands. And it's based on the death of the former owner. Now, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Jesus came and he died, which made us an heir. A person entitled to possess. That's another definition of an heir. An heir is a person to whom an inheritance is given. An heir is a person entitled to possess. Now, that doesn't mean that by his eligibility he has received. It just means he's qualified. As an heir, you're qualified to receive. That doesn't guarantee that you've received. You have to do something, right? You have to humble yourself and take things from the Lord. He's offering it to you, but you must receive it. You must take it. Just like you took salvation. It's not hard. You believed in your heart. You confessed with your mouth. This is how we take up our heirship. If I can sum it up in one word, an heir is simply a receiver. An heir is simply a receiver. You say, a receiver of what, Pastor? Anything that is Jesus's. Anything that belongs to him. That's what the kind of heir I'm talking about. And what belongs to Jesus? We know from Matthew 28:18, I'll put it up on the board for you real quick. Matthew 28:18, it says this. All authority, all power, the King James says power, but that word literally means authority. All authority and power is given unto me in heaven and where? In earth. Jesus has the Visa card. Amen? Or MasterCard, whichever you prefer. I don't use Amex, but some of you use Amex. He's got all three, all right? He's got the power. And how much power? It says all. We must take him literally at that. I know we don't see that with our eyes. We see the evil men reigning over large portions of finance in this world. Lands, real estate, buildings, things that represent power. We see the evil of this world having possession of that. But I'm telling you, the truth is Jesus has it. All power, he says, is given to me in heaven and in earth. Jesus is looking for those who will receive the power he has as an heir and take that position of ownership as a reality in their heart and begin to reign with it. Let me get real practical here. Some of you are working for companies one day. If you'll believe for it, God will make you the owner of it. See, we've thought, well, I've got to be an employee all my life. I've got to work for somebody else, or I've got to use my labor to promote someone else or benefit someone else. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But as an heir, you need to see yourself as one who has the right to own, to possess. Amen? Now, lest you get squirrely about this, let me say this. What I'm talking about is being led by the Holy Spirit. He will show you your inheritance. Right? You don't inherit what's another man's if it's not been given to you by God. But if he does give it to you, amen, then it's yours. For the earth is his, right? David the psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It belongs to Jesus. What he said here is true. All power and authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. He possesses it all. He possesses all of heaven too, by the way. And it says in Paul's writings at the end of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the last 15th chapter, he says, there will come a time in which Jesus, all will be received into Jesus, and then Jesus will turn it over to the Father as an act of honor. Isn't that beautiful? That's going to be at the culmination of the end of time and eternity. Jesus is going to take all that's been given to him by the Father, all that authority, all that power, and then he's going to hand it over to the Father in honor as a gift. But for now, amen, because we're talking about now. We only live in the now. We can dream about tomorrow, but I'm telling you now, you're called to reign as an heir. You're called to possess, to inherit, to receive. And up to this point, you have no clue to the level, and I have no clue to the degree that God wants us to receive. Amen. He's got big, big things for us, folks. If you open up your heart and take it in. You say, well, Pastor, I need a home. I want to start a halfway house for recovering addicts. You need a house? It's yours. Amen. God calls you to do that. It's yours. The house is yours. It's given. It's a given. Amen. You say, I need a publisher. I'm writing a book. I believe God gave me a book to write, but I need a publisher. I need someone to help me get it published. It's yours. Because if he is authorizing you to write that book, he's authorized a publisher to back you. Paul said it this way to Timothy. He says, no man goes to war at his own expense. Amen? Soldiers don't provide even the underwear on their backside. Their breeches, their guns, their food, housing, transportation, all of it's covered. And in Christ, you are covered. Whatever he's authorized you to do in this life, to accomplish in this life for him, he's paid for it already. It's financed in the kingdom. You just got to find the way to get there. By your faith, with your faith, you'll get it. You got an expanding family, you say, I need a bigger house. In Christ, it's yours. In Christ, it's yours. I love what one preacher said. You don't have to pay for it, you just have to believe for it. See, we always think, oh, I can't afford that. Don't ever say that. I can't afford that. Mark that phrase from your vocabulary from now till Jesus comes and even beyond. I can't afford that. If you're called to have it in Christ, you can't afford anything. Now, I had an uncle who was one of those guys that became a millionaire by age 40 or probably before it. No TV watching while we're in church. I'm kidding. He was one of those guys that became a millionaire by age 40. And he said to me one time, he quoted this quote. It's a worldly quote. It's not in the Bible, but it made sense to me. You can have anything, just not everything. Yeah, and it kind of gives hope, you know? If you dream of a really, really nice X, I'm just going to say X, you fill in the blank. Whether it's a boat, a car, a house, whatever your hobby tool is, you know? Whatever that thing you really, really want, you can have it, but you just most likely won't have everything in this world, right? In other words, there are limitations. Well, in Christ, there's no limit. But there are limits to the boundaries of the Holy Ghost, right? In other words, if God hadn't called you to evangelize Africa, he's not going to send you to Africa, and he's not going to pay for it. If you go there, you're on your own, right? But whatever he's authorized you for, it's paid for. You can't afford it. Amen. If God puts it in your heart, you can afford it. Don't say, I can't afford it. Just say, I don't have to pay for it. Father's paying. That's what I said when my daughter and son-in-law got married. I said, I'm not paying for this wedding. I looked at Terry and I said, I'm not paying for this wedding. He is. So we sowed some seeds of faith. We sowed some big money seeds to believe. Because when I got married, Tony, we had cake, punch, and mints. And by the time my daughter got married, weddings involved full meal for everybody that came. I was shocked. Sorry, I've been out to lunch for many years. I just didn't realize things had changed. So I said to Terry, I'm not paying for this wedding. He is. And guess what? He did. And he paid cash. Within a couple months, it was all paid off. No debt. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I believed I don't have to pay for it. I just have to believe for it. And that's the way it is with you in your heirhood. Your heirness, your reigning in Christ. Whatever God has called you to do and be in this life, he has funded it. He has supplied it. You just have to lay hold of it by faith. Amen? I heard a story the other day. A minister was talking about when he was in Bible school and he and his wife were believing for every tank of gas. I know how it's like when you're young and in college and you're just trying to follow God and you're following the call of God. And you may not, you know, just may not have money running out, you know, every pocket. And he said they announced one day in school that they were doing these missions outreaches. And they announced a mission outreach to Guatemala. And he said, something in my heart said, you're supposed to go to that. He thought, Guatemala, that sounds like a great trip, but I can't even, you know, fill my tank of gas every week to week. But so he walked, you know, he heard the announcement kind of. His hope rose and then deflated, and he walked out the building, you know, after class was over. And that afternoon, they were supposed to have a meeting for those that wanted to go on the trip. He started to walk out to his car, and he just thought, I'm not going to that meeting. I know I can't afford that trip. And the Holy Ghost spoke to him. He said, you're supposed to go to Guatemala. And so he went to the meeting, and, you know, they had a orientation about what the trip was going to involve and how much it was going to cost. It was a couple $1,000 per person. For him and his wife to go is just, you know, unthinkable. So they passed this clipboard around the room, and he said when it came by, for some reason, unknown reason, he signed it. Like, I'm going. And he thought later, why on earth did I sign that? I can't afford that trip. Long story short, God provided everything he needed. Because God had called him to go. And it was a blessing. The trip wound up being a great blessing, a great ministry outreach. And God supernaturally supplied all that he needed. But the point is this, we tend to think, I can't, and in Christ, you can. In Christ. That's the key. It's not, God is not he's not a slot machine. He's not a vending machine where we just give him our order and pull the lever and he gives us whatever we order. Of course not. But in the Holy Ghost, under his leading, under his guidance, under his leadership. Amen. So I got to ask you as we close today, are you doing your own thing in life? Or are you doing his thing? See, most people out there, they're scrambling just to make ends meet, or get a little bit ahead, get a nice house, a nice car, a nice boat, whatever. I get it. We all kind of have similar desires, don't we, in the basics. We all want the nice stuff in the basics. Good food to eat, etc. But that's not all there is to life. And for those who will, whosoever will, God has more. He's called us to reign in life. And we reign first by receiving from him, receiving his directive, receiving his dream. I'm telling you, God has dreams he wants to give us. And when he gives us the dreams, he gives us the means. He'll place the dream in your heart, and if you'll receive it, if you'll believe it, he will bring it to pass. Amen? Let's stand together. God has called each one of us. If you're in Christ, you are called to an extraordinary life. You are called to live an extraordinary life. You're called to live above what the people in the world typically struggle with. Amen? I'll say this. We teach here very strongly about tithing. As a tither, as a proper tither in the kingdom of God, you can expect that taxes won't be a burden to you. If you look at Genesis 14, one of my favorite teachings to do, I do it once a year at least around here, about this king that had a grip on nations. And a few of the nations, including Sodom and Gomorrah, they wanted to break free from his grip. The Bible says actually it was the taxation that they wanted to break free from. That's when this big battle erupted. Anyways, you can go read it later, but Genesis 14 is an amazing story. But the struggle everybody faces in the world, it's all about being a part of a kingdom. Are you in the kingdom of the world? Or are you in God's kingdom? When you're operating successfully in God's kingdom, the burdens of the world don't burden you and I. Amen? So that we're free to get on with God's business. Amen? God wants your debts paid. He wants your cars paid, your house paid for, so you can get on with his business. He's got big plans for us. I want to encourage you to receive it today. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. As we close out, I'm trusting the Holy Ghost today to birth some things in your heart. Because here in a corporate environment with the anointing present and the Holy Spirit present, even before you leave the house today, some of you who have cried out and said, God, what did you make me for? Why am I here? What is my calling? What is my destiny? I know I've heard preachers talk about destiny, but what is my destiny in you? What is it you want me to do, God? What am I supposed to accomplish in this life? What is my purpose? Even before you leave here today, some of you are going to find that purpose in Jesus. He's going to give dreams. You don't have to be asleep in the natural to dream the dream of God. Amen? It gets downloaded. And here in this moment, Holy Ghost, let's just lift our hearts to heaven in faith. Lift your hands as a sign of surrender and reception. If you're ready to receive like a little child, just reach out and receive from him right now. We trust you, Holy Ghost, right now. Lead us into the purposes of God. Lead us into our destiny as heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, who has all power in heaven and on earth. Strike from us the unbelief that says, I can't afford, or I can't do this, or I don't have the ability, or I'm unqualified, I'm unskilled, I'm uneducated, whatever it is, Lord, today, lift that off of our life. It qualifies in Jesus for every good thing, every good work. Right now, I call you blessed in Jesus. I call you qualified in Jesus for anything he's called you to. He's just looking for the man, for the woman whose heart is completely his. And today, if you'll receive it, he's going to birth ideas, hopes, ambitions, goals, and visions into your spirit right now. It can be an instant download. You can walk out of here, you can just all of a sudden see it in your spirit. I'm supposed to do this. I'm called to do that. He's equipped me. He's anointed me. He's directing me to go this way. Right now, you can receive it in Jesus. Receive it in Jesus. Whatever he's called you to, he will enable you to do it. Amen. We thank you, Father, today in Jesus for all good things that you're doing in us, for birthing in us by the Holy Ghost your desires, your will. Trust him. Jesus will show you the best way in any area. He'll show you the color to paint your house. Show you the color to paint the rooms. If you'll trust him, his wisdom is supreme. It is above all wisdom. His ability, his might, his power, favor flows from the King. And he can give that favor to anyone he wills, and he wills it to his children as they will, as they receive. Just receive his favor today in your life, whatever you need from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're called to reign in him. Amen. He wants us to live up here, not down here. Amen. So go today, go out in royalty, go out in authority, knowing that he has called you to reign in Jesus. Amen. God bless you.